Okay, all set.
Thank you, Edina. First of all, I want you to know that whenever different girls come back for a visit, they always say how much they appreciate this year. So thank you to Rabbi Astroff and to Edina for making it happen. We really appreciate it. And I know that it just doesn't happen in other schools, so that's one of the things that makes Ma'ar very special. So I had an interesting occurrence today. I work on the side as a life coach now, and particularly with dating issues, and it's something that I'm anyway so busy with, so I decided to get qualified to really do it professionally. And one of the things that has come up a number of times, I deal with dating issues and relationships, so that's like my specialty, is guilt feelings. And it's interesting because one of you guys, I just got off the phone with you right before about a specific issue where she was starting to feel guilty for saying no to a certain guy. And we explored the different, you know, feelings that she had and the reasons why it may have caused guilt feelings. And I decided that it would be, before speaking to her, I had told her, I said, I don't want you to think that because of this conversation, that's why I'm talking about guilt. This is something I decided before, because my main goal is really to move from guilt to apology. So first, just to realize that I believe that people who suffer from excessive guilt, this may happen because they don't necessarily view HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the loving Father that He is. And instead, they just focus on what they have done wrong. And this is mamash like causing themselves a tremendous amount of pain. Now, there are many different reasons why a person can feel guilty. As you all know, sometimes it's because of our actions towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu or inaction towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu that can cause us to feel guilty. And there are guilt feelings towards other people if we feel that in some way we mistreated them. And there are, you know, many, many different, it could be guilt feelings like how could I think certain ways or act in certain ways. So one thing that's very important to realize about guilt is that it's really a powerful tool that the Yetzer Hara / Satan is using to just keep us down. And guilt is a phenomenal tool because it causes us not to fix that which we're feeling guilty about. Guilt allows us to feel that we were yotze with punishing ourselves. The guilt itself is the punishment that we inflict upon ourselves for doing or not doing something that we feel we should have done. And I'm equalizing my emotional state by feeling guilty. So everything is fine. I can continue. I'm a good person, and I'm someone who at least has values, and I have a conscience, and therefore I'm feeling guilty. So everything is really okay, even though I'm still doing X, Y, or Z, or not doing X, Y, or Z. So the goal really here is to recognize, once we realize that guilt is really being used as a tool, we're able to distance ourselves from it, recognize what it is. Shalom Aleichem, guilt. Now I realize what purpose you're serving, and Lamaisa, you're not getting me any closer to where I really want to be. So examining this, and I could see it being very helpful for all of us to take a step back and ask these questions about the guilt that I may be feeling. Another thing to keep in mind is that definitely there are times that we really are not guilty, and we feel guilty. Why? What is that serving us? Can we be honest and take a good look at the situation and recognize that in this case, I am not guilty. This is not something that I did wrong. This is something that has to do with the other person, and view the other person with a certain level of compassion that their actions, you know, could ad kedei kach cause a person to feel this way, but I'm not going in that path. I'm not letting myself get caught up there. So once I recognize where the guilt is coming from, I know what my plan of action could be. And I would like now to discuss if, let's say, I do realize that guilt in this case is because I did something wrong. So obviously, if it has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I realize I'm a fallible human being. I made a mistake, and now I'm committed to rectifying the situation. I'm committed to making amends. So that's, of course, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sometimes the action that I may need to take is so looming and big that I strongly recommend thinking about the smallest possible step that I can take to move myself away from the action or the inaction. For example, let's say a girl feels guilty for not davening, and she knows she should be davening. She knows she would like to be davening. She would like to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that involves talking to him. And yet, the thought of davening shacharis, the full shacharis, together with all of her other obligations is just looming and too big for her right now. So to think to herself, what would the smallest possible step I can take to move me to a place of action rather than inaction in this particular instance? And you could take that for any other example that there could be. I want to move on to, if you feel guilty justifiably towards another person for having wronged another person or not acted properly in some way to another person. And I know that we're not anywhere near Elo, and yet I just feel maybe sometimes when we don't have that impetus of asking for mechila, maybe it is a good time sometime mid-year to examine our relationships and to think, is there someone that I wronged that I could rectify that so easily by apologizing properly? And that moves me to the next section of the share, which is talking about apology. First of all, apology is the acknowledgement that I caused injury and I own this. I own this. I accept the responsibility. It also means feeling. I feel regret, I feel shame, and a certain level of vulnerability where I'm risking not being able to make any excuses and that the person might not necessarily initially accept it the way I would love for that person to accept it. The purpose of apology is I want to heal the wound that I inflicted. I recognize that my victim, you know, you could put quotation marks there because obviously none of us intentionally hurt, but this person is emotionally hurt. This person also very well may be frightened that he may be hurt again. So the apology has to provide the victim some kind of reassurance where it's clear that this will not happen again. It will not be repeated. Now, of course, apologizing is a gift because it shows the person, I want to invest in this relationship. It establishes trust. The person feels, wow, this girl is someone who can take ownership of her actions. And of course, it enables the apologizer to really grow from her error and this, thereby benefit from it. Okay. The Mishnah tells us, Ein yom ha-kipurim mechaper al aveiro, sein adam ha-chaveiro, atri yiratze es chaveiro. And in Gemara Yuma, Rav Yitzchak says that whoever annoys his friend, even if it's only with words, is obligated to appease him. The Shulchan Aruch says about this, that if the person is not appeased with the first attempt, he should return and go to him a second and a third time. This is an Aruch Chaim. Now, of course, it's difficult. It's very hard for us women to do this. If you recall, we said that the Isha was created from an Etzem, Adam was created from Adama. It's therefore harder to appease a woman. So if it's another girl or a female family member that you may have hurt, be prepared that it's not going to necessarily go that easy. We tend to carry our resentment in our heart. For those who feel that they owe an apology to someone male, recognize that it will probably be much easier. As we said, Adam is mi'adama, a more yielding material than bone. Rav Chaim Friedlander in Sifsei Chaim even says that a man should daven for siyata d'shmaya, that his wife should accept his apology. So this is definitely something to recognize, but the whole offense, let's be strong and let's try to do this properly. So it's interesting that some apologies are accepted very, very nicely and the relationship is healed beautifully. And then there are other apologies that just leave the person feeling more distant than ever before. And I would like to examine what the components of a proper apology are in a way that will leave the person really feeling good. I'm sure you have all been recipients of an apology that had two words. And I know you're thinking, I'm sorry, and you're right. Usually when we hear just the words, I'm sorry, usually we feel like this does not sound very sincere. The person feels like he did what he needed to do and that now you could just move on. But hello, where is any recognition of the pain that you caused me? And that's what we're going to talk about. The aggressor, the person who caused harm, has to convey in both words and deeds that he truly regrets hurting the other person. And this is crucial because without that, pretty much the apology won't be accepted. Dr. Meir Wickler asks his audience, I think I may have told you this once, what are the three most important words in a marriage? The first word is I, but the last word is not you. So it can't be I love you. And the words are I was wrong. So I want to give a few guidelines for effective apologies. First, I'll just give a case scenario. Let's see. Okay. So there's a couple, Mati. Mati's most important goal in life was to be respected and honored by other people, which is very typical for a man. And he really tried to amass as much wealth as possible because he felt that this is the best way to achieve respect and honor by other people. And he was married already for 17 years, and he was an executive making a good living, working in a real estate management firm, but still felt that he was not earning as much. And a lot of his friends were buying or renovating, and he wasn't yet able to keep up with the Cohns. And therefore, he withdrew all of his savings to invest in high-tech stocks. At that time, they were soaring. And he bought the stocks on margin. Some of you might know what it means. I have no idea. But pretty much it means that he was buying on credit. And when the stock market crashed, Mati's entire house of cards collapsed. And he was forced to declare personal bankruptcy. Their cars were seized, and they moved into a small apartment because they were not able to keep their home. Now, his wife, Liba, was extremely angry. How could you have taken such a risk? Why didn't you tell me about this before we lost our home? And Mati said, you never asked me about our finances. You weren't interested. 4 years pass. Mati and Liba are now living in a new neighborhood in a private home. Okay, not an apartment, but it's pretty simple. He's working as the chief financial officer of a junior college and slowly, painstakingly has reestablished their credit rating. And now he wants to cash in his life insurance to invest in real estate. But he needs Liba's approval because they need to cancel the insurance policy together. Liba explodes. Do you think I'm crazy? I'm not ready to lose our assets again on another get-rich-quick scheme. And Mati answers, but Liba, it's different this time. I'm not hiding anything from you now. The real estate market is booming now. Trust me. And Liba responds, trust you? How can I trust you? You kept me completely in the dark last time. Mati answers, I was different 4 years ago. Can't you forgive me? And Liba absolutely can't take this any longer. You want me to forgive you? In the past 4 years, you never once apologized. What is Mati's response? Okay, Liba, you're right. I should apologize for what happened. I'm sorry I got into that mess. But I was under a lot of pressure at the time. Could you please forgive me now and let me cash in on the insurance? This is a great opportunity now for both of us. It didn't work. Liba remained steadfast. Mati did not have what we said before. And that's what we're going to go through now, the different steps that he should have taken in order to ensure that she would have agreed. The first part of the apology is it does not end with the word but. I once heard that it stands for the acronym of but is beware underlying truths. Any kind of excuse, any kind of rationalization, however true it may be, will water down your apology. And if I will say the word but, you know, I'm so sorry, but the reason why I did it was blah, 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 it shows that my only goal in giving this apology is to defend myself and to escape the anger. And that should not be my goal. As we said, the goal over here is to heal the wound inflicted by me on you, to recognize that the victim is emotionally hurt. Okay, so there's no but over here. I need to acknowledge my wrongdoing very clearly, to include a statement of exactly what I'm apologizing for, not just I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? Are you sorry that you got caught doing something that you shouldn't do? Are you sorry that the person is angry at you? Or are you sorry for what you did? Okay, so you're spelling it out. Sometimes it's more than one thing. I'm sorry that I didn't take your feelings into consideration when I invited those guests for Shabbos. I really should have recognized that you had a very difficult week. And on top of that, I even invited people that you don't really feel so comfortable with, for example. So it might be more than one thing. Next, I acknowledge the damage that the person suffered. For example, oh boy, I'm really sorry. Not only am I at fault for going through the red light, but I also bent your fender and cracked your headlight. Okay, if you don't know how you hurt the person, this is a time to be really brave and to ask, how did I hurt you? I see that I really hurt you. I can imagine that, you know, from seeing your response that this was really big. Can you tell me? I really want to understand how, you know, the pain that I caused. Again, this takes a lot of bravery. And of course, acknowledge the feelings that this caused the person. Use words to describe the feeling. Wow, you feel betrayed. That must be so painful. For example, you then spell out your resolution. Which steps will I take to ensure that this will never happen again? Next time, when I would like to invite a couple for Shabbos, I'm going to make sure to clear it by you, clear it with you before I call, and only people that you feel comfortable with, for example, could be the resolution for the future. And after that, ask for forgiveness. So after you've made sure to acknowledge your wrongdoing, exactly what it is, you spelled it out. You acknowledge the damage that the victim suffered because of the wrongdoing. You acknowledge the feelings that it caused. You spelled out what you resolve to do in the future so that this should never happen again. And you ask, can you please forgive me? I guarantee you, girls, that unless the person is emotionally unhealthy, this works wonders. It's interesting, I saw once that Rabbi Twersky notes how life emulates prayer. And we know that we have in tefillah, we have gratitude, expressions of love, and apology. And it's helpful if we just listen to our tefillah, we'll realize, hey, we're doing this all the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we might as well do this properly with people. And there's no question that it will be a beautiful cycle, because kol sheruach habios nochahimanu, ruach hamakom nochahimanu, so many marriages can be saved if each spouse would say, I thank you, I love you, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And the same goes for any other relationship. I want to give a couple of practical tips before we end. First of all, sometimes you could be in the middle of this really heated argument with another person, or just like a really unpleasant and uncomfortable situation, and it's right in the middle. And what could be amazing is if you could work up the courage and the creativity to just stop right there in the middle and just say, whoa, let me just try that again. I did not mean for it to come out in this way. And correct yourself. You know, I apologize for saying that. That must have really not felt good. Move forward and say what you want to say properly. Another thing is, if several days went by, try to find a time that feels right for you to go up to the person, you know, with a lot of courage and say, I want to talk to you about what happened last Wednesday. I'm sorry about the way I spoke to you, and et cetera, delineating all the steps of a proper apology. Of course, we don't include any blame in the apology, because automatically I'm removing the ownership and passing it on to the other person. Of course, I did this because I never feel that you are, you know, attuned to my feelings. Forget it. That, of course, will not work. Another thing that's very important to realize for those of you who are married is that a husband's apology may not take this traditional format. It's difficult for a man to admit to a wrongdoing, especially when he gets to know his wife and sees that she has this element that when she really is truly wronged, she holds on to her pain. And therefore, a guy might really try to just earn your good graces and express his remorse by offering to do something, by buying a gift. And I think for sure in the beginning of marriage, it's important to just recognize that this is very difficult for him and sort of let it go. And at some point, when the relationship is stronger, then to begin asking for the kind of apology that you give. And what I believe is, if the woman models the proper way to apologize, the guy that she married is lucky, because he's going, and so is she, because he's going to learn the right way to do it. What do you do if you feel that both of you were wrong, and in this relationship, you each made mistakes? So again, this is the question really is, what do I want most? And one of the things that I really advise people who want to work on their relationships is to work on their values and Met Hashem, you know, privately, I can do that for those of you who are interested. And think to yourself, what do I gain from waiting for the other person, and what do I gain if I'll be the first one to apologize? When would I be acting according to my values, and when would I not be acting according to my values? And knowing my students, I think most of the time, the vast majority of you would really feel that what I want more than anything is shalom. Like the bumper sticker here in Israel is, Al tiyeh tzodek heyeh chacham, like just be smart. And the shalom that will be brought about by your courageous step and taking, you know, a step closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a step closer to the Geula Shlema, when there's more shalom in this world, is just going to help and just going to make your life so much more satisfying and so much happier. And I wish you all Hatzlacha Ubracha in implementing this very small, but I believe, life-changing skill into your relationships. Kol tov.